Welcome, true believers. Shonorama on the road, Shon Geek Podcast. I need to shorten that title up somehow. I think I will. Maybe in season 5, which we are fast approaching. So, today, we're going to talk about the DCEU. What is the DCEU? Well, that is the DC, as in the comic company, the Extended Universe. So, this is the basically the cinematic universe for the DC films. So, a lot of people have been talking about it. You guys probably don't want to hear my opinion, but I'm going to give it anyway. But I'm going to try to give you guys perspective from a different perspective, my own. But I don't want to hate on it too much. I think I want to look at it, take a step back, take a look at what's already happened, where we're at, what's been accomplished, what's not been accomplished, and kind of look at it from a very constructive perspective. So, we have had a lot of confusion. I think maybe that's one of the things where there's a bit of complaining going on from people, is the general confusion about the universe. And the extended universe, the whole thing started with Green Lantern, which, for reasons that might be obvious, it was considered a big disappointment. It didn't deliver on what was expected, and even Warner Brothers or DC or whatever, they've all acknowledged, okay, well, we're not, this isn't canon, we're not really, I don't know if they've said that specifically, but basically it was considered a disappointing film financially, creatively, from a business perspective, all those sorts of things. So after that came, I guess it would have been Man of Steel, which people are split on, but I think it's fair to say that some people didn't like the film, but some people hated it for other reasons. They just, I feel that there was a lot of people that felt very strongly about the film, but I don't think that's a bad thing. It's divisive in that people felt that it didn't portray Superman in the right light. But if you look at, you know, the, was it 70 years of Superman comics, that there's been so many different interpretations of Superman over the years. Yeah, he's still wearing the blue and red, and he still get the S on his chest. But really, this was an incarnation or an interpretation of Superman, no different than a creative team on a Superman comic. So at the end of the day, I think the movie was good. I wasn't a massive fan of it, but I will say, yes, the movie was good. The writing was solid. The cinematography was, you know, it's Zack Snyder, so of course it was beautiful. It worked. As a film, it worked. If it hadn't been a movie about Superman per se, and it had been a no-name hero that was created for the movie, I don't think there's flaws, or there aren't major flaws with the film. And really, the film is good on its own. It's just if you bring in the baggage of previous Superman films and fanboys that like a certain interpretation of Superman over other interpretations of Superman, I think that's where the I think that's where some people might be complaining, like, well, that's not my Superman. I grew up with Christopher Reeve Superman, or I grew up with I'm the Siegel Schuster Superman, like that's my Superman, and this isn't my Superman. Or maybe, you know, my Superman is the John Byrne Superman. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, I think the movie's still a good movie. It's just, it wasn't the Superman for all the Superman fans. It was the Superman for some Superman fans, and it was a good movie just on its own. So from that perspective, I don't think Man of Steel is a failure, and I don't think it's deemed a failure. I mean, a lot of people saw it. It was a good movie. I think I'm going to go back and watch it again. The next film after that, we had, I guess, Suicide Squad came out, and it was a kind of a choppy mess. But in terms of the DC Universe, Extended Universe, I don't know if it's that important, because even though there is a connectivity to the DC Universe, per se, you could basically not... It's not... I mean, these aren't guys that are in the Justice League movie, for example. So Marvel is building all their characters to be in their Avengers movie, but in DC, they're not all leading to the Justice League movie, like their team movie. So I think you can take the hit on that one. I think you can take the hit on that one and just, well, okay, you know, the movie didn't work. But for me, from a business perspective, I think it's pretty cool that they tried something different and they took chances and it didn't work. There was a lot of failure on execution, for sure, but at least they took a chance. Could it have been a better movie? Yeah, probably. Could it have been a more artistic movie? Yeah, it definitely could have been, but I mean, whatever. I mean, it was what it was. It was a failed experiment. Fine. I don't think it hurts the extended universe at all. I think it's just, well, it would have been great if it worked. So, similarly, if you look at the Marvel side, Marvel put out Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy could have had no connection to the Avengers in any way, shape, or form. There's no need for there to be a connection with the Avengers in any way, shape, or form. The fact that it's happening is still cool, but if that movie had tanked, it's a good thing to take a chance on, because they're out in space, it's not going to have any direct impact on the rest of the universe, and it never needs to have an impact. So if that movie tanked and people didn't like it and it didn't make any money and, you know, all of the above, then it wouldn't have hurt the Marvel Universe too much. So similar, I think Suicide Squad and Guardians were similar in that nature. They were both gambles. One paid off really well and one was just okay or whatever. After that was Batman v Superman, which, let's keep in mind here that this is the Zack Snyder vision. So they brought Zack Snyder to come in and, you know, clean up what came from Green Lantern and basically be the architect. Now, the Collider and John Schnepp, who I think John Schnepp's pretty brilliant, but he raised some really interesting issues and points in saying that Man of Steel was good because Man of Steel was not written by the director. It was actually written by a writer, and Zack Snyder came in and he took that script and shaped it into the movie that it was, and that's why, in his mind, that the movie succeeded. And I would agree with that statement, even though I didn't like Man of Steel, because I didn't like that particular portrayal of Superman. On a whole, it was actually a very good movie. Batman v Superman, I actually quite enjoyed. I saw it in the theaters, I enjoyed it. I noticed there was some, I wouldn't call them continuity errors so much, but in the editing, there was parts where it felt like there was stuff that was left on the cutting room floor that would have helped the flow of the movie. And then having seen the extended cut after, I was like, yeah, it did actually make a difference. But at the same time, I understand why you would cut a movie that was that long. It's different having the Avengers come out so many years later after the Marvel Cinematic Universe had established itself. But, you know, you can have an Avengers movie be 2 hours and 45 minutes long if you've got, I don't know how many films preceded it, but, you know, the first 8 films or whatever the heck it was leading up to it, you can have it that long. You've established the brand, you've established the characters, everyone knows the characters, there's no backstory really provided other than why are they together. So they're together, you've established that, they can just get down to butt kicking and taking names and showing how well this team meshes together and doesn't mesh together. So you can get right down to the nitty gritty, and I think that's part of why Avengers could be an extended length movie and get away with it. Batman v Superman had one film ahead of it that tied in. Again, Suicide Squad doesn't really have a tie to the movie. But you had Man of Steel, and then you're going right to this movie. I think it was a bit premature to do that. And I think there was a few options you could have had here. Because the movie was very long, but it got edited down to make it less long. But then it really cut the film and really ruined the continuity. Would the movie have made more money with the extended cut? I mean, you get less showings, but I think there would have been a higher satisfaction ratio with the audience. But I don't think it would have been incremental. I don't think it would have been massive. So, you know, would it have helped the movie? I think it might have made a few more bucks and might have built more goodwill with the next film, which is theoretically Justice League, but Wonder Woman came before. So all that being said, Batman v Superman, they're saying, was a failure at the box office, which I still don't understand those numbers, even if it is the most expensive film of all time, which it's not. It is an expensive film, but not the most. I think Titanic held that record for forever. But, I mean, that film made $2 billion. But, I mean, I think the film made $700 million or something like that, which, to me, is not really a failure when you look at all the original initial Marvel movies that led up to Avengers. None of those movies had numbers that close to that good. I mean, they made, but I think they were also on a much lesser budget. So, but to expect the second movie of an extended universe to get to that $1 billion mark, I think is presumptuous and ignorant, because you haven't rebuilt this brand up to be able to make that kind of money. Avengers made $1 billion because it built and built and built upon itself for a succession of movies, 8 movies or whatever it was. And yeah, when you build something for that long, the movie is going to make $1 billion. It doesn't even matter if the movie's good. An example of that, when Star Wars Episode 1 came to theaters, that movie just made ridiculous amount of money because there was, whatever it was, 20 years build up. Let's say from 1983 to 93 to 2003, yeah, 20 whatever years build up or whatever to get to that point. People were waiting for it for a long time, and it had a pre-established dynasty of movies, and it had a pre-established following, and in fact it was successive generations that grew up on it waiting for the next piece of the movie. And because it wasn't a reimagining of the film or anything like that, because it was a continuation, even though it was a prequel, but it was still a continuation, they weren't changing the story, people went to go see Star Wars Episode 1. And consequently, the way Avengers was built up, of course it's going to make $1 billion. The movie could have been incredibly horrible. It still would have made $1 billion because you've built up the interest for that long. Batman v Superman, really, which was World's Finest, if you recall, that was the comic book that often teamed up Superman and Batman, and in some occasions, I think Wonder Woman was in there. I mean, they're the Blessed Trinity. And I mean, the performance of Gal Gadot in that movie cannot be questioned. It was good, and it's like, whoa, it actually turned people around on her casting, which was mostly negative casting against her, or negative... people weren't on board with Gal Gadot until they saw her as Wonder Woman, and they're like, oh, we are so wrong. And that build-up to the release of Wonder Woman, which came after that, was, I don't know if you call it brilliant marketing or whatever, but to tease her in that movie and to steal every scene she's in, there was an anticipation for her movie and a want for us, the fans, the movie-viewing audience, to see her succeed. The fact that it was actually a very good movie, you know, minus a couple of things that were not quite right in it. I mean, it was a really good movie, and it encapsulated Wonder Woman in the same way Christopher Reeve encapsulated Superman all those ages ago. And in a way, I still feel that Henry Cavill, as Superman, did that too. It's just Superman wasn't the likable character that Christopher Reeve played. He wasn't played in that way. He was the sad character. There was a sadness. There was a darkness. to it, and there was not as many shouts of light to that movie, which Superman's about. But again, that was the particular direction Zack Snyder had chosen. So to keep Zack Snyder, I mean, I think the right thing to do is not to pull the plug immediately. And I think Batman v Superman was a bit of a step backwards, but I mean, let the guy finish his vision. Let the guy finish his vision. Like, come on. Like, he started the thing, you guys had a plan. If you keep pulling the plug, even before movies are released, you gotta have some confidence in the director and his vision. Because otherwise, why did you sign up for the vision in the first place? If you start second guessing because there was a couple of the audience didn't quite latch on. Marvel took 8 movies to build up, again, I can't remember what the exact number was, but Marvel built up, say, about 8 movies to get to that point, to build the universe to that point, and to get that $1 billion box office. So you're not allowing the DC universe to get to that level right away. You're not. You've allowed 2 films, 3 if you count Suicide Squad, 4 films if you count Justice League, or no, sorry, 4 films if you count Wonder Woman, and 5 films if you count Justice League. So, I mean, really, the build-up is a lot shorter. And if you take Suicide Squad out, which didn't do anything to expand the universe or do anything really to showcase the universe, it was like a subsection of the universe, like Guardians of the Galaxy was, really. So, I mean, you're not allowing the audience that time to breathe and get on with it. But simultaneously, at the same time, don't expect those boffle. You have to spend money to make money, and you get to build the franchise to make money. And building to the Justice League at this point didn't really work. I know they don't want to emulate the plan that Marvel's doing and kind of do it on their own, and I can understand that, but let Zack Snyder finish his vision. I think the Batman v Superman, once it was released, that's what they're doing. Well, that's what we've got to do, and that's what they did. I think that was a little early. I think Batman v Superman is a good precursor to a Justice League movie. Don't get me wrong. I think that's phenomenal. But I think you could have hinted cameos along the way. And I think in the Batman movie, which is what it should have just been, a Batman movie, I think you could have teased Clark Kent and Superman instead of mashing them together at this point. Because really, you're reestablishing Batman, or being forced to reestablish Batman. You already have an established Superman. But now it's like, well, do you do 75% of the movie establishing Batman and give 25% to Superman, which isn't fair? Or do you have a full movie to establish Batman and then have a following movie, or even 2 movies after that, that does the Batman v Superman thing? So, an example, you could introduce Batman, like you could have a solo Batman film, The Batman. The Batman should have been the next film, or one of the next films. And establish it. Bring a good director in. Bring in a Christopher Nolan type character like Darren Aronofsky, and let him have his vision, and then try to fit that vision around it. Or have the Zack Snyder Batman. It could have just been the Zack Snyder Batman. But bring a writer in. Putting that many duties on one guy's shoulders is just not fair. He's not going to have the best product come out. Let him come in and direct. He's proven to be a great director with someone else's script. Let it be that way. You know, they could have brought Goyer in again, I guess, you know, or something like that. But, I mean, here's where I'm talking missteps. So you already had the previous Batman trilogy that did really well with Christopher Nolan at the helm, and you really established, okay, this is Batman getting starting out. This is Batman, you know, kind of making some mistakes here and there. This is Batman establishing himself. In The Dark Knight, it's a little bit later. And in Dark Knight Rises, it's even a little bit later. And you kind of established a full Batman story arc. So then when you're reintroducing Batman into the universe with another actor, you kind of need to explain the change in years. And it's never clearly established whether it is in the same universe or not. But it could be, and it should be. You can't have these indirect ties. You should have embraced what came before. And if you did it in that manner, and you flash back to those films, you already have Batman established, and you don't need to reestablish, or you don't need to reestablish as much. And that gives you a little more breathing room to tell a nice original Batman story 20 years later, whatever it was they had decided, but build it upon what came before. And you can hint to the cracks in Batman's veneer from those 3 films, the suffering he had at the Joker's hands, or you know, the rise of Harvey Dent's Two-Face, or you know, Bane's, you know, terrorist attack on Gotham. You could have built upon that, and you could explain that he had retired, and you could have a film establishing in flashback. I mean, you don't have to be the whole film, but establish, okay, this is 20 years later. This is where we left them off last time, and this is what's happened in the interim. This is what shaped, you know, Bruce Wayne and his personality and where he was and, you know, what happened with him. So I think, you know, it's a good thing to you know, embrace the past, you know, have it like Marvel does in the beginning. Again, saying I'm not emulating Marvel, but they have those quick flashbacks that this is what came before. Don't have it be a reboot. Just continue. You got another actor, it's fine. Continue the story. The comics do it all the time. Batman's been around for, what, 60 years, 65 years, whatever the heck it is. You know, a different writer comes on and suddenly he looks different. And that's okay. He can look different. Different artist, different writing team, different style, different attack on the character. It doesn't have to reboot. It can be continued and you can establish. I don't understand the need for rebooting, and I think it's the reboot that's hurting here. Let's acknowledge what Nolan did. It was genius, you know, or whatever. It was great. Let's build on that. I mean, they spent whatever it was. I don't know, it was 10 years making those movies, or 9 years, or 8, 7 years, whatever it was. But they spent time establishing Batman. And then you're just going to throw it aside? Why can't you build on what came before? They do it in comics all the time. What's wrong with continuity? What is wrong with continuity? I don't understand. Embrace it. If they had done that, they could have had a film that explained why Batman's doing what he is 20 years later. Why he's not being the Batman anymore. He's just running Wayne Enterprises, you know. I mean, we saw what led him to the point of, you know, taking the cowl off. Great. So what has he been doing since that time? Vacationing. And again, you can have a montage. You can have flashbacks, whatever it is. But then you can show what launches Batman into being Batman again. And it doesn't need to be Superman. And I don't think it should be Superman. I don't think that's a clear way of establishing the universe. I mean, I like a lot of the things that Batman v Superman did. I actually enjoyed the movie. But again, you're putting a lot of material in a film that give the film time to breathe. Don't have it, and don't have a 2 or 3 hour movie. You don't need to. Have a 2 hour Batman movie showing where he's been. So it's a transitional film. That Batman film is a transitional film. So then now you can even have a tie at the end. Look at how Captain America First Avenger happened and how they explained the gap in time and, you know, why he was where he was before. But in the Captain America movie, they had to establish the character. But you've already done that with Batman. He's already established. You've already done it. You know, he has his history behind him. We've already established that in 3 movies. We don't need to rehash it. We can rehash it a little bit just as a quick recap, you know, to show where he's been. And you can have that with a montage during the credit sequence or whatever. But then you could have the story be, okay, well, it's 20 years later. You might have flashbacks to 10 years ago. Well, what was 10 years ago? Well, you know, maybe he slowly took the cowl off. Like maybe, you know, he left it in someone else's hands. They could explain the Robin thing, like the Robin with the, you know, that he died. Like, you know, how did that happen? Like, you know, you can take the time to establish that. And it doesn't have to be a trilogy of films. It doesn't have to be at all. Don't follow the Marvel method. It can be a transitional film to say, okay, this is the bridge movie from the Batman of the original trilogy to the Batman of now. Works. To me, that works well. And then, like First Avenger, you ended, okay, so that's where we are now, and now we're now. You could have had a Batman v Superman film come sometime after that point to show that, yes, there was a catalyst that brought Batman back, but now seeing this Superman thing, now it's established, we know what's going on, we know why he, you know, didn't take the... It's like shit happened in those 20 years. We know what's happened now, it's been established in this transition film. And then now it's like, okay, you know what? I really got to pull my socks up because there's this last son of Krypton that needs to be dealt with. And then they could have taken that whole movie to establish that build between the two characters. So you've reestablished Batman. You've established Superman as Man of Steel. And you could have even had another Man of Steel sequel before the Batman v Superman to really tease to that buildup. So your trilogy of films could have been Man of Steel, a Batman film, Man of Steel 2, and then maybe Batman v Superman. Like, build it up to the event. Not, it's not an Avengers level event, but build up that team up over five films and have hints to the two, and maybe have them almost working together a little bit, like, or getting to know each other, like over the Man of Steel 2 film and the Batman transitional film. You know, he's like, who's this guy? This guy just landed on the planet. Who is this guy? And then Man of Steel 2, you could show Man of Steel, you see Superman doing stuff, and you could have hints throughout the movie of Batman. Not have him be in the movie, have him be a 10% of the movie, and then have the next movie be, okay, you know what? Have it be the whole build-up to the fight. And I think by doing that, like, they crammed all of that in one film, and I think that could have been done over two or three films, or four films even. Instead of having to be, why does it have to be a trilogy? Maybe it could be a quadrology or whatever. Like, maybe take the time to tell the story and let the characters breathe. We needed to fall in love with Superman, and we felt the sad Superman. So the second Man of Steel could have been, you know, you could, okay, we got past all this recrimination and all this past stuff and, you know, why you went away or, you know, all that stuff. And okay, we've moved past that. Now we're moving into the next stage of Superman being the hero that he wants to be. And people starting to build ramp up against him. And that could be your Man of Steel too. He's still the hope to everyone, but, you know, there's an event like we saw in Batman v Superman that leads to people just really, really turning on him. And just do it that way. And I think that would have helped things. And then you could have teased some Wonder Woman, and even had her in Batman v Superman, but you could tease her over the Batman film. And just like very small cameo. Very small cameo in Man of Steel. And then you just have the three of them joining up and have it be, you know, have it be that. You know, and how does Batman react to this Wonder Woman character? Like, they could have had a little more exposition there. It's like, okay, wait, whoa. There's a Superman and there's a Wonder Woman? Who is this? Like, you know, I got to figure this stuff out, you know? And I think by taking the time to breathe and tell the story, it would have been really good. But, hey, that's not what they did. But at least let Zack Snyder finish his vision out. That's what I say. And with Justice League, yes, those circumstances that prevented that. So now he's done his opus. He's done his movies. Let's just move forward. Let's not retread, reboot, recast, do any of that shit. Bring another person in. They're Kevin Feige, which really was Zack Snyder. And do that with another creator and do the same thing. Have someone oversee everything, but bring together good directors that can share that same vision and have an overseer with different directors instead of maybe having one director over everything and just kind of go that route. So that's my two cents. That's what I got. Hope you liked the podcast today, but we will see you next time on the flip side.